Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. We're a slight time delay today because I was traveling home from my 35th college reunion. Hard to believe that I am old enough to have been out of college for 35 years, but I am. And I went up to the lovely Enchanted Mountains where I went to college, St. Bonaventure University, the only Franciscan university in the world, or in the United States, maybe not the world, but definitely the United States, and had my 35th reunion with a bunch of friends from the graduating class of 1976. And so here we are, and it was interesting because it was Saturn stationing, you know, makes you remind you of passage of time and makes you aware of the changes that have gone on in your life. And then at the same time, the changes that haven't, because you see people that you went to school with when you were a young teenager and you remember what you did and what you were like and what they were like. And, you know, it's kind of this whole big mosaic of life. It was really very nice. It was a nice way to spend a Saturn station reminiscing about old times. So what we do here on the Weekly Weather is I sit here at my bright red desk and talk to you about what is going on in the week ahead. We have survived the Saturn station. That was earlier. And now Saturn is moving direct, although he's really, really stopped in the sky, basically, because he doesn't get a pick up speed. He's still going to be hovering at 10-11 for the next month and a half. So it takes him a while to get a move on. But once he does, he'll be very busy little guy. So we are waiting for Saturn to move forward, although he is moving ever so tentatively. And what that we often find when Saturn stops in the sky, or for either to go backwards or forwards, in this case he's stopping to go forward, is that he brings to light things about our life and our structure. What we've accomplished, what we haven't accomplished, what time is about, like how time has gone flying by, and also the whole concept of what is our value to us, because Saturn is really kind of a value planet. It's what have we actually accomplished that is of value in our life. That's maybe a better way to say it. Because what we value and desire is Venus. But what we value about what we've done is Saturn. And so this weekend, a few people text me for different reasons. And, you know, I kind of have the lovely e-phone where I can read my text messages. Saturn has a way of making us kind of go, wow, that was wild. And also, wow, that's a little fearful, you know, where we go, oh, I don't know that I'm ready for that next step. Or I'm not sure that that's what I want to do. So it's an interesting time because he is, of course, we talked last week about how there's three eclipses in a row. And this is where the middle period happens. Now, the really emotional eclipse happens this week with the full moon on the nodes of destiny. Now, eclipse seasons are marked by when the nodes are within 15 or 18 degrees, depending on who you talk to, of the sun and the moon, the lunation. So we have three eclipses this time. We have a solar eclipse, which means the sun goes away. And now we have a lunar eclipse this week. And then we have another solar eclipse on July 1st. Now, the two solar eclipses are taking place on the north and south poles of the Earth, not visible to many people, but the penguins can see them and the polar bears. But they are going to make that area of the Earth hopping. And, of course, last week's eclipse on the south was Patagonia and Chile's volcano that had been dormant for a long time erupted. We do note that the area is the path of vulnerability, which tends to be maximum visibility tends to be 70 to 200 miles. These are partial eclipses because they're so far from the sun, but part of the sun is eclipsed by the apparent path of the moon in front of it. And what it does is it makes those sections of the world hot and busy for the next few years. And also for all of us, this full moon solar eclipse, which takes this peak on Wednesday, and we're not going to see it in the States because it's still sunrise. Sun is still above the horizon. But people in Europe will see it. And what will happen, this is a total eclipse. The sun will be, or the Earth, let me think who's going to happen. The moon is going to move in front of the sun. And we on Earth are going to see, no, I'm doing this wrong. The Earth is going to move in front of the sun and block out the light of the moon. I had to think which kind of eclipse we're having. Lunar means the lunar light goes away. The moon goes away. Solar means the sun goes away. So when the moon goes away, it's a full moon, lunar, and the Earth steps in front of the sun's light on the moon's face and obscures it. Total means it's going to be completely gone, often turns red, because there's a little bit of sunlight gets around the edge of Earth through the atmosphere. But what that also does is, because the eclipses are right on the nodes, makes it a highly, highly emotional eclipse. And because the timetable of it is virtually identical, the timing of it from 1 week of the new moon to now, this one's really very close, both Scorpio rising, both Leo midheaven cast for the United States. It's going to be an emotional processing around whatever came to light over the last couple weeks. And we can expect some big emotions, because full moons make us emotional. Now, I have a couple clients that are already there. You know, they've been riding these emotions and going, their engines are revving. What you want to watch for is if you have anything at 24. The full moon is a 24 Sag Gemini. But if you yourself have anything at 24, you know, note it. Give it a note. Pay attention and say, wow, that's big. And that will be activated this week. And what the purpose of a lunar eclipse is to make you aware of how profoundly emotional a being you are. We tend to feel, you know, we tend to kind of like to wrap ourselves in these nice little packages. And lunar eclipses really just make us get emotionally vulnerable and awakened and exposed feeling sometimes on a bad day. But on another day, they're also very cathartic. So very often people find themselves bursting into tears or crying on lunar eclipses, oftentimes uncontrollably, because it brings up for you the thing you can't have, the thing you want, the thing that's really deeply emotionally important to you. Because they are in the south node, because the sun's traveling with the south node, these eclipses have a little bit more of a tendency to represent loss. And our job is, as they represent loss, is to say, okay, that is finished, it's time for it to leave, and I understand there's new things behind it. So this week is a little stressful. I don't think it's be as bad as last week was, but then again, in hindsight, you know, bad is relative. And for those of you who wrote and inquired about Anthony Weiner, the man of the exposing genitals in his text messages to people, he is born in September. He's a Virgo. Surprise, surprise. But you know, everybody kind of goes, why do I think Virgos are prissy? I'm like, no. Virgos, when they're aroused, are really pretty horny little things. They're an earth sign. They're just fussy. So of his 80,000 followers, he only had 120 that he chose to follow, and they were all cute brunettes, except for the blonde one. And they're also nudists. Virgos love to get naked. It's their preferred form of clothing. So it's always kind of shocking as a Virgo parent, you know, or a parent to a Virgo child, I guess I better should say, the speed with which they can take off their clothes and leave them behind in a mailbox or some other place because they're inconvenient. And don't ever buy them clothes that don't fit loosely or comfortably, because let me tell you, they're never going to wear it. Put a tight waistband on or a pinchy foot, you know, it's not going on their body. Because they are very particular about not being hurt by their clothing. And so anyway, he is a Virgo, and sent off these pictures, and he's having the eclipse. He totally is, if you look at his birthday. And based on his look, I'm going to give him a Gemini rising, right, because he's tall and he's skinny and he talks a lot. And the south node's there, and he has like a Gemini look, kind of busy, busy, skinny, skinny. And he was a bit of a hound dog before he got married last year. Obviously, he still is. And, you know, when you want to go far in politics, you do have to be a family man of some sort. So, forward. I don't know. We'll see if Anthony survives. Thus far, he's not leaving, but I did read a text message that said, more pictures had come out, you know, so we'll see what he's been sending of himself out. And that is, of course, the south node in Mercury. The south node in Mercury is Gemini's node, and it wants to expose you. It wants to let everybody know what's going on. So it's very quick to do so. So, like, I'm coming home from the diner from the reunion today, and I'm driving with my friend Tom, and, you know, he wouldn't let me pay for gas, so I was paying for dinner, or lunch. I guess it was a lunch thing. And we get there, and I pulled out 30 to pay, and then it was 22, and I thought, oh, that's good. Let me just get rid of a couple of my singles. I picked up the 10, ostensibly, to put down two singles, but actually what I picked up was the 20. And I gave him $12 instead of 22, and he went up to pay because I was doing something, and I get up there, and I hear her say, well, maybe she wanted you to pay for dinner. And I thought, what? That was weird. And he kind of had this little cat in a cornfield look, you know, and I thought, I wonder what happened there. So, of course, I looked at my wallet. I didn't have a 10, which meant I'd given him the 10 and taken the 20. So it's that kind of thing. Mercury lets you know when you make a mistake. It tells you. It advises you about, oh, you didn't do that. And so that kind of thing, you know, you'll hear it, you'll overhear, you'll get information. And that's what's happening this eclipse season, because Mercury goes through three signs. So this week he switches out of Gemini, which he's going to be in for the eclipse, right on the sun, highly combust, very attentive and paying attention to details, and he switches into Cancer at the end of the week on the 19th. So he's going to be in three separate signs for each of the eclipses. The first eclipse, he is in the sign of Taurus. The eclipse we're going to have this week, he's in the sign of Gemini. And then the eclipse for the 1st of July, he's in the sign of Cancer. And the reason, of course, this is important is he rules the south node where the eclipses are taking place. So he is being very changing in his information. So this week, Mercury moves from 22 Gemini to 6 Cancer. He is moving along at 2 degrees, 15 minutes a day. That's fast. So in 15 days, he's getting through less than 15 days. He's getting through a whole sign. Now, it normally takes, you know, he can go anywhere. He can dawdle. He can be dead stop, but he is flying right now. So expect the news to be flying because Mercury is a busy bee. So he does have a conversation with the node of destiny on the 13th, which often is a shift and change in direction or some kind of new information coming out. He has an argument with Mars on the 14th, where he's going to be a little crotchety. He has a square with Ceres on the 14th, where he's not going to be in the mood to take care of people anymore. And of course, he has his eclipse on the 15th, Wednesday, where he and the Sun, where he meets, you know, he's traveling. He met with the Sun last week, but he's combusted the Sun, so he's very tight to the Sun, talking to him. And when Mercury is joined to the Sun, people tend to think they're right. They believe their opinion is correct, your opinion is wrong, and they don't really listen well. It's not a good listening position. When Mercury is either in a sign before or after the Sun, he's able to give the Sun somewhat wise counsel when he is in the sign from the Sun, but farther away than right next to him, he again is able to talk to the Sun. But when Mercury is next to the Sun, it's when the Sun says, well, this is what we're going to do, and Mercury goes, yeah, that's what we're going to do. And Mercury doesn't turn to the Sun and whisper to him and say, maybe we shouldn't do that. So what you can find this week, because the Sun's in Gemini on the south node, is people can make really sudden, rash decisions about releasing themselves from responsibility because of that Sun-Mercury-south node. Okay, so we really do find there's kind of a big whoosh of energy that wants to take place, and it'll be very possibly made with a bad decision. Meaning the decision is emotional or is ego-based or is tied to what the Sun looks at as the story. And the Sun can run off half-cocked and make decisions that aren't necessarily in its own best interest, but actually in the scheme of things are probably what it's supposed to do anyway, because we know that astrology reflects what we're supposed to do, and often we do it in the way we're supposed to. Who knew? They don't teach it to us like that. So June 16th, Mercury goes into Cancer. And then, of course, we have the ever-widening T-square from last summer that Mercury is going to go through. He's going to trine Neptune on the 17th. He's going to sextile Jupiter on the 17th. He's going to square Uranus on the 18th. He's going to trine Chiron on the 19th. And he's going to oppose Pluto on the 19th. So he's not to Saturn, because when he gets into Cancer, he's now following in the footsteps of, he's following in the Cancer footsteps, but he's filling out the leg of the T-square. So Mercury has a communication energy. And then next week he'll talk to Saturn. What he's doing as he goes through this T-square is he's going to bring to light the story from last August, end of July, August, when you were being faced with a choice, whether you made it or not. He's going to have you go through that decision and kind of go, okay. And remember, this moment in time is when we're being asked to choose. We're being asked to choose based on all the new planets, all the old outer planets being in new signs, saying we're ready for a new reality, and we have to decide what that new reality is. And we were invited to something last week. This week we will be emotionally given information that will help us choose. Then next week, on July 1st, when Saturn and the Sun have a square to each other, we have to pick. And we have to pick and move forward, or pick and go backwards, or pick and stay where we are, but we are going to be asked to pick. And the choice, at that point, the path separates. Some people go to the left, some people go to the right, and you're going to pick, so it's coming. So watch the information that emotionally shows up this week as Mercury zips through the heavens at 2 degrees, 11 minutes per day. The Sun, on the other hand, is also busy this week. He has the full moon, and he's in the back of the zodiac. He runs from 22 Gemini to 26 Gemini. And remember, the Sun moves a little slower in the summer, so he's not quite going a degree a day. And he is opposite the node of destiny when he forms that eclipse. So that's a releasing energy. That's saying goodbye, so long, farewell to something or someone on Wednesday. Now, what can happen is the stage gets set, and then down the road a piece, when Mars gets to that point or other triggering planets get there, we will see it happen. So, for example, the eclipse that took place in Libra on the World Trade Center, 9/11, it had Mercury get to the degree of the eclipse kind of makes a pattern in the heavens, and that stays hot for a while. So when other planets come along to set off that degree, meaning they come to the degree of the Sun and the Moon, they wake it up. So when Mercury got there, Mercury's messages, information, communication, we had on August 6th, we had the presidential daily briefing to George Bush while on vacation that Osama bin Laden determined to attack the United States in airplanes. And then he didn't really do anything. Well, he ignored 56 police reports or FBI reports, but, he was on vacation. And then a little politics there. I know not everybody's Republican, but I'm not, so I get to pick on the Republicans because it's my radio show. Mars goes then into Libra, and it hits that boom, squares that point on the 9th of September, which is actually when the mission started, when they started getting ready to get on the planes in Maine to fly to New York to take them over and hijack them into the buildings. So both cases, the eclipse was big in the U.S. chart, but that was in June. And then the events happened later as planets got to those points and trigger it. So what we find with eclipses is the degrees stay sensitive, and this week we are experiencing the sensitivity of those degrees as the Sun sets it off and gets it ready to go. And we do know that as the planets that are following the Sun, Venus and Mars, get to the eclipse points, we're going to have action. And really, truly, until Saturn gets to the eclipse point, which is going to be another 20 years, that eclipse can stay active. According to the Chaldeans. I personally have never tested a 22-year eclipse thing, but they kept records. And that was the ancient astrologers of Egypt. All right, so we've got the T-square getting set off, reminding us of what our choices are. We've got the Sun setting off with in the south node releasing. We also have the sun parallel to the north node, and a reader wrote to say, I don't know what this parallel thing is you mean. There's a thing called the ecliptic, and there's a thing called the equator. The equator is where the Earth is the fattest, but because we're tipped, Earth is tipped, and if you remember your globes, it's a little tipped sideways, 23 degrees, 27 minutes, the sun actually goes around something called the ecliptic. That's the sun's apparent path around the Earth, or from our perspective, the seasons, because when it hits Libra and Aries, it's at the equator, and when it hits 23 Cancer, it's at the northernmost moment, and when it hits 23 Cancer Capricorn, it's at the southernmost. So those are the solstices, where the sun appears to stop and then begin its journey back towards fullness. So we're approaching the solstice with the eclipses coming, and we also are approaching the longest day of the year and shortest night. So that was all happening this week, too. We have Venus, who goes from 5 Gemini to 12, so she's going a little over a degree a day. And she squares Chiron right out of the gate on the 13th. She's a little cranky. And then she's pretty reasonable most of the week. She's not particularly unhappy. She likes the sign of Gemini. She's not making hard aspects to anybody but Pluto. And that's over on the 14th. And that's probably more about establishing her identity or establishing what she wants. Because Venus has been in the sign of Taurus, and Taurus is really one of her favorite signs. Now she knows what she wants. So now the next thing is to convincing or asking or figuring out how to get it. And that's what she's in the process of doing with Gemini. She's learning to talk about her desire needs, what she actually desires. Mars is very busy this week. Mars goes from 25 to 27 Taurus. He is at Algol, the degree of the fixed star of beheading. So we can anticipate people being beheaded this week. Now, not literally losing their heads, although that can happen, but really more beheading, like getting kicked out of office or being forced to resign or something coming up that makes people go, no, no, I don't want you anymore. Eclipses mean eklipin, to leave, to take your departure. So they make you leave, or you get invited to leave, or whatever. Now, obviously, for some people, they're not bad, because the people who leave create a job opportunity for those of us left behind. So this can also be eclipsing. The other definition is to rise up. And so the Broadway star breaks her leg, and the ingenue gets to go on, you know, dancing to fame and fortune, based on a bad experience for somebody else. So when you're having eclipses, we can find that there's sudden changes in your power struggle or your power structure. So be prepared. If you know there's a job you've always wanted and there's a structural issue, get your little butt ready to go into that place, because this eclipse can open it up. And one of the advantages of studying astrology is you know about this stuff before everybody else does. So this week, Mars, who is in the sign of Taurus, slow-moving, solid, reliable, dependable, and also a little stubborn, is going to be talking to Saturn on the 14th, and then he's talking to a couple of asteroids on the 15th, which are all about how he's going to take aspect and nurture. The 15th also, if you're trying to get pregnant, looks like a really excellent day to do it, because Mars is in a fertile aspect to the goddess of creation, Ceres. Mars joins with something on the 16th, ending it, and that also is the day after the eclipse. So there'll be whatever the emotions are that come out on the eclipse, you're going to want to end something shortly thereafter. Saturn is contraparallel to Vesta on the 16th, suggesting an overwhelm or an inability to get your fingers around or your brain around all the things that have to be accomplished at work. And really, this is a breathe energy. When the sun is in Gemini and Mercury's in Gemini, people can very much feel overwhelmed by all the stuff they have to do. It's just the way the energy works. And if we look at the mix, there's a lot of air and there's a good amount of fire. So air is tornadoes, fire is fire. And we can anticipate more of the same as we're working in this week ahead. We also have a couple other things, nothing too major. you know, that really are kind of more flavorful. There is a desire to end nurturing or taking care of something this week, and that desire therefore can transfer into the end of the taking care of opportunity. Again, we're at a south node, so people can leave us. But it also can be you can change your role. So I have a friend who's putting her mom in assisted living, which will take away her responsibility of feeding her mother 3 times a day and, you know, kind of always having to worry that she's fallen, broken something. And so it's a good week for that kind of thing, for people to say, you know, I'm really exhausted with the way I've been doing this. It's not working for me anymore. I think I need some help. And it's very helpful to know that that's what the week is for. It's for you to come to a realization about yourself and about your limits, because we all have limits. Saturn is limits. He rules limits. But he also rules the structures that we built and the boundaries that we have and the people that we love for over time, because Saturn is involved in time. He's not the one-night stand guy. He's a busy guy. There also is a nice, really juicy cold in the weather, in the air. So kind of be aware if you get a little sniffle or a snuffle. Take it seriously, you know, because this is a cold week. Eclipses often make us ill because the infestation or the influenza or whatever that's been brewing around in there has a moment to come forward because one of the lights is missing. So it kind of sneaks on stage and suddenly we're snuffling and sneezing and we didn't realize it. So do take care of yourself. Go to bed early. Give yourself some vitamins. If you're feeling really emotionally wrought, you know, do the things that comfort you. Get in the shower. Go for a run. Whatever makes you feel better emotionally, because this is an emotional eclipse. And sometimes it's just processing. Sometimes it's just talking and saying, you know what? And that'll be enough. So it's good. So the moon's this week. Never want to leave without the moons. The moon today is in Scorpio, and it'll be in Scorpio until 1:43 tomorrow, where it leaves with a separating aspect. So it's a separating and an arguing energy. Nonetheless, productive, because the moon does, of course, rule the ascendant, which is nice, and or rule Mars, which rules the ascendant. Then the moon is void a good chunk of the 13th from 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 10:30 at night when it goes into Sag. It's in Sag all day the 14th, and then it's in Sag until 11:31, which is midnight time frame, on Wednesday when the lunar eclipse takes place around 4 in the afternoon. Then we get to the 16th, and the moon goes into Capricorn at 1:59, so no void moons. And this is a really productive one. Moon is very busy in Capricorn. It's going to be aspecting the entire T-square, but it's going to be aspecting it from joining with Pluto and saying, hey, now that I've joined with you, let's go power. So first Mercury, or first the moon meets all the other planets, meets Neptune, it meets Jupiter, it meets Uranus, and then it reports into Pluto, brings them all messages from his generals in the field. So we will find that Thursday is kind of a busy day. Friday, the moon's in Capricorn. Saturday, the moon is in Capricorn in the morning, 4:07. And, of course, Thursday and Friday, the moon go void with a closing aspect of a trine to Mars, which is great for very productive. And then the 18th, the moon is in Aquarius. And we like Aquarius moons. They tend to be brilliant and bright and very productive. And the closing aspect for that, however, is a square to Mars. So Saturday and Sunday, the stuff that comes up will have hard parting aspect, meaning a separating. So it's a good time to separate from stuff. So productive, not a lot of void moons, and that's basically the report for the week. The British lady is telling me I have 60 seconds. So I should wrap up. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York. If you want to find out how these babies pertain to you in person, you can always schedule a reading. And also what we do here is we try and give you a feeling for what the energy is like and how to work with it. Basically, it's Mercury's week. You're going to find out stuff you didn't know about, and it's going to make you feel really emotional. And your job when that happens is to go, well, I was supposed to find that out now, or I was supposed to find out the magnitude. Because sometimes it can be something you knew was going on, but you didn't know how big it was. So you're going to find out the magnitude this week, because Mercury is in the mood to tell tales. He's in Gemini, and he is talking. Now, once he moves into Cancer, which happens this week, he gets more emotional. All right, but right now, he is just giving the information, not really caring on whose ears it falls. So take care. Have a great week. Feel free to send me an email if you have a question. I hope I explained declinations well. And if I didn't, I'll do it again. That's my job. Take care and have a wonderful, wonderful June 13th. Bye.